Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
For me, this WhatsApp call will be very poor connectivity, so I have made this call itself. I hope it is okay with you, ma'am.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. This call is okay. Absolutely okay.
Okay.
I don't know what happened today. Actually, I'm working from home.
Okay.
So I don't know. Suddenly, my microphone is not working. I don't know what has happened with the laptop.
Okay.
So I'm not able to. I'm able to see you, but you can't see me.
Yes.
I can't hear you guys. There's a lot of issues going
on.
Yes, ma'am. We are wasting time, so I thought let me call you and then finish.
Yes, ma'am. I understand.
You seem to be very busy, and then.
Despite that, we have given you this time, and thank you very much for this, ma'am.
No, no, you are always welcome. In fact, I couldn't give you any time last week because I was very busy with admissions and final teaching exams and all that. So,
yes.
We will finish the work today, don't worry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, ma'am. Let's continue.
Okay,
yes, yeah, sure.
Ma'am, could you tell me to which institution you belong to?
I belong to Northeast Regional Institute of Education, that is NERI. This is under NCERT.
Okay.
Okay, this is under NCERT, and this is located in the Northeast in Shillong. This is NERI Shillong, okay? NERIE Shillong. So it is located here in.
Okay.
NERIE, Northeast Regional Institute of Education, NCERT. It's under NCERT.
Under NCERT. Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, could you kindly tell me a little more about yourself? Specialization,
yes.
Your qualification,
yes.
And how long you have been in this, etc.
No, I am actually, I've been working in NCERT since 1985.
Okay.
I joined NCERT in 1985. In fact, I've completed more than 35 years of service in NCERT. I was earlier posted in Regional Institute of Education, Bhubaneswar in Orissa. As you know, we have RIs across the country. There are 5 RIs in India and 1 in our head office in Delhi, that's NCERT, under the Ministry of Education. Myself, I'm Shatrupa Palit. My area of specialization is English language teaching. I am the Dean of Instruction here in NERI Shillong. I'm Dean of Instruction Academic. I do Youth Academic Affairs. And I've been here in NERI for the last 6 years. Earlier, I was in Bhubaneswar.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Ma'am, I would like to know what are the courses offered in your institute, ma'am?
Yes, actually, it's a very small institute here in NERI. It is not like other institutes, other regional institutes, which are very large and big. This is a new institute, so it caters to only one course, and that is the B.Ed. course. Only a B.Ed. course.
Okay, ma'am. This 2 year, since when? That means you mean last 6 years only this was started? Since which year?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, actually, this B.Ed. course began quite some time back because it started in 2015.
Okay.
Yes, and we have an intake of 50 students in this because the infrastructure is not so much as in other RIs. It is just a budding institute. I mean, just because it has to be located in the Northeast, so that is why this is just started. And in the Northeast, this was a very small building and small institute, so we have only 50 students intake. So we have a 2 year course, so we have 50 plus 50. 100 students now.
Okay. In 2019, how many were admitted now?
2050 were admitted, but 2 or 3 there were dropouts. So we had 47 or so like that.
And in 2020 now?
In 2020, we had 48 and 46.
Okay, ma'am. 46. First, a little bit more about the admission of the students, I would like to know. What proportion of students you get from art stream and science stream, etc., ma'am?
Yes. Now, usually we have 50-50, like 25 from us and 25 from science. That is how we have distributed our seats. Okay. And regarding the admission process, since 2015, we used to have an entrance test.
Okay.
Which is called as common entrance test. But since last year, as you know, because of COVID, we could not have the entrance test. So what we did, we took the students on the basis of their graduation marks. We took them from the graduation marks.
Okay.
So as a result, there was no entrance test last year, and this year also the CE is going to be conducted, but the committee has yet to take decision whether it will be exam mode, online mode, or it will be again on the basis of the graduation level marks. So graduation is the minimum qualification for entrance into the BEd course. So this year it is not finalized as yet. We propose to hold it in September. Whether it will be an exam or it will be on the basis of marks, that has not yet been finalized, madam. But last year, the exam was cracked off. We could not have the exam because of the COVID. And therefore, we admitted students on the basis of the marks they uploaded in the website. And then at the time of admission, they got the original mark sheet for verification. That's how we did it on the basis of marks.
What was the kind of qualification? What kind of marks they had when you selected them?
No, graduation, they are supposed to have 50% marks to be eligible to apply. They have to be, 50% marks, and there's a relaxation for the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe candidates. I think it's 5% less or something like that. And that was the marks. And of course, it depends on the higher the marks, the higher the chances of admission. But 50% was the basic requirement for applying to this course.
So what was your the students when they what marks they had when you chose them, ma'am?
No, that depended and that varied from state to state. See, we have a seat matrix, we have a seat matrix, we have 50 seats, but we have allotted a particular number of seats to each state in the Northeast. Since this institute caters to the Northeast, eight states are there in the Northeast, as you know. And there is a seat matrix based on which we have distributed. See, Assam is a very big state. So we have given them more than 20 seats for Assam. That is decided by Delhi, actually. The seat matrix comes from the headquarters in CRP. And as per the size of the state and the population, the number of seats are allotted. Sikkim is a small state, so only 3 seats are allotted to them. And out of the 3, maybe one for scheduled caste, one for scheduled tribe, and one for general category. So that again is subdivided. You know, the number of seats, that's again subdivided into categories, SCST and general categories, and economic weaker section, etc.
The eligibility is 50% marks. Are there students who have scored much higher than this?
Yes. But you know, madam, it depends on in certain states. Suppose it is the seat, there are only 2 for scheduled tribe and 1 for scheduled caste. Maybe the mark is just about, say, 58% a person has got admission. Because in that state, maybe very few people have applied, and maybe the kind of students who applied do not have high percentage. So amongst them, the higher percentage you have taken. So it depends also from the kind of students who applied from a particular state.
But in your own assessment, what type of students you got, ma'am? What's your assessment about their academic strength or weaknesses in your college?
Some states do very well, for example, Assam.
In your state, in this particular institute where you are working now?
Meghalaya.
In Meghalaya, near you, what is your assessment?
No, actually, we don't have anything like Meghala and Meri. Meri caters to all 8 states.
Uh-huh.
Meghala gets only about 5 seats.
Okay.
We are located in Meghalaya.
Uh-huh.
Only 4 to 5 seats are there for Meghalaya.
Uh-huh.
So we cannot give more than that seats to Meghalaya just because we are located in Meghalaya.
Uh-huh.
Is that,
okay.
Yes, that is what I meant by seat metrics.
Uh-huh.
Now, suppose we see that in from a particular state there is no category, no one fulfills that criteria, or for scheduled caste there are no candidates, or scheduled tribe there are no candidates.
Uh-huh.
So we then take from the general list. Maybe in the general list Meghalaya can come. Tripura can come, any state can come.
Uh-huh.
So suppose, do you get my point?
Got it.
Yeah. Suppose in Sikkim there are 2 or 4 scheduled tribes. But for scheduled tribes, maybe there are only one candidate who has applied. So one seat falls vacant, isn't it? So what do we do? To fill up that seat, we take from the general merit list. Which state they come from do not matter. We take from the general seat, merit list, and fill up that seat. Since Sikkim does not have any students, because sometimes, madam, very small states, they apply maybe 10 or 11 students have applied, or 5 or 6 have been eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So out of that, maybe they do not fulfill the criteria of, scheduled tribe or general category. So ultimately, we have to take from the general merit list.
Mm-hmm.
So in the general merit list, maybe Meghalaya state has a good percentage. We take from there.
Okay. Got it. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you, in your own college, if you just compare the academic profile of your college students with the other college, is there any, how do you compare?
Any other RI?
Oh, yeah. This is an RI, you know, this one.
This is RI, no? This is Northeast RI. So if you want me to compare this RI with other RI, which are our sister concerns, like Bhubaneswar, Bhopal, Mysore, I think, to be very frank with you, the quality of students that we get in other RIs are much better than this, than this Northeast.
Okay.
Because I was working myself in Bhubaneswar, and what I find, because I taught there and I'm teaching here, what I find that the quality of the students, the percentage level is much, much higher there in other RIs than in the Northeast. Northeast, we are not getting very good students, when we compare it with other RIs.
Okay.
Yes.
And also when they opt for the seat, probably Northeast students only will opt for it, or will there be students from other parts of the country?
No. This 50 seats meant only for the 8 states of the Northeast.
Okay. Got it. Ma'am.
Just like Mysore, RI Mysore, caters to Karnataka, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, then Telangana. It caters to the south states. The students from North India or Western India or Northeast cannot apply to get a seat in RI Mysore.
Yes. Okay. Now, what is the proportion of men to women students now?
In our institute, in our institute in Shillong, maybe 80% are women, 20% are men or boys.
Okay.
Every year it has been happening. More than 70% happen to be girls, and 30% happen to be boys. And I would just like to add, in the Northeast, the ratio of higher education given to women is much more than men.
Why is this one very interesting?
Yes, because see, this is a very, very, what you call a female-dominated state. These are all very much female-dominated states.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to give you an example, in Shillong, I'm not talking of academics.
Yes.
To give you an example, here in Shillong, most of the shopkeepers or the vegetable sellers are women. Men are rarely found, to be the, selling their goods, like, for example, vegetables, or all these things, you will be very surprised because in our state in Bhubaneswar, you find 90% of the vegetable sellers and fruit sellers are men.
Yes.
Here you will find most of the, men don't figure here at all, and women are most of the time selling their vegetable and fruit and everything. And of course, shops are there which are owned by men, but it's a very interesting thing that here women are very prominent than men.
Okay.
And so also in the educational field, the same thing is reflected. There are more girl students or lady students take admission than men. So we require more number of hostel seats because we give them hostel facilities because it is not possible for them to commute because they come from Nagaland. Some come from Tripura. So they have to stay here in a hostel. So when we fill up the hostel seats, we find that the girls' hostel are absolutely full and the boys' hostel, the rooms are vacant.
Okay.
That's a very, very, very peculiar feature here in this institute.
Interesting. Ma'am, how many take up maths and science teaching now? And what is their profile like?
Maths and science, as I told you, out of the 50 seats, 25 belong to science and maths category, and 25 belong to social sciences, social science, English, that is art. And 50%, that is 25 seats, belong to the science and maths category.
And will that get filled up, no? Will that 25 exactly, will it
get filled? Yes. 25 fills up unless someone drops out or gets some other course somewhere, or their personal problem is there, or they get some other, some who is economically weak get a job and their parents force them to work, so they drop out. So out of 50 seats, sometimes there are dropouts which comes to 48, but equally we divide 25-25 for science and 25 for arts.
Is there any difference in terms of the academic profiles of arts and science students, or are they same, ma'am?
No, they are not. They are most of all same, and depends again, as I told you, from state to state. Percentage marks again differs from state to state. Though they may have got a seat in science, maybe some art students have a higher percentage in the graduation than them. So it's usually difficult to compare,
Since this 2-year program has started, earlier it used to be 1 year, but I think it doesn't apply to RIE, isn't it? Or does it apply to RIE?
No. RIE always had, we had it here in Shillong, Maneri, 2-year program running right from 2015. We did not have a 1-year program as such.
Have you taught in a 1-year program earlier, any time?
Long back, we had this, not here, not in very long. In fact, we had it in Bhubaneswar, a 1-year program, quite some time back. But since last 7 to 8 years, we are running the 2-year BS program.
Based on that experience, ma'am, nothing to do with this college, do you think the profile of the students has changed since this 2-year program was introduced?
I couldn't get your question. Could you please repeat?
Ma'am, earlier it used to be 1 year and now it is 2 years. So has the profile of the students changed because it is becoming 2-year program?
Profile has not really changed, but the thing is that the course has become more rigorous. Earlier in 1 year, we found it very difficult to pack all the components of the methodology areas, But in this 2-year program, what has happened, we are able to, pack different components, like internship has become a little longer. Earlier, it was just a very short period of 1 month. Now we have an internship of 3 months. So we have revised the, you know, the areas, the trust areas, and maybe the TIER, and I feel the TIER program is much more stronger and better than the earlier 1 year program, which was very hurried. In fact, the students did not have proper grounding and routing from their, you know, different subject areas as they have it now. So we are literally rigorously training them for the, you know, continuously for the 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Ma'am, what is the socio-economic profile of these students?
Actually, it's a mixed group, madam. Okay. Some are socioeconomically very strong, and some come from very weak backgrounds. In fact, we have 2 or 3 seats also for economically weak students.
Okay.
One thing is that we offer them a scholarship. Out of the 50 students, all the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe candidates students are given scholarships.
Okay.
Yes. And some students are given scholarship based on their economic status, like annual income of parents less than 1.5 lakh or 2 lakh, like that.
Okay.
There is a limitation. There are cut limit.
Okay.
We give them. So since here scheduled tribe candidates, the seat matrix is more. At least 80% of the students get scholarship. So at least it helps them a little bit in their study materials and books and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And only maybe a couple of them out of 50, maybe 6 or 7 don't get scholarship. But nearly 40 students, around 40 students get scholarship.
Ma'am, if they have to spend the entire money on this, so what would they be spending like otherwise? Without scholarship?
No. At that time, scholarship is given to them later on after they join, and we see their, you know, progress, and then we get, you know, release the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But the fees as such is very nominal here.
Okay.
You know, well, yes, very nominal, since it's a central government institute.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you really look into other B.Ed. institutes, you'll
mm-hmm.
find
mm-hmm.
that there are, you know, they're taking lakhs for
mm-hmm.
a B.Ed. program.
Yes,
but
yes.
here we just take around 15,000 admission fees, and hostel fees for 1 year is about 10,000 of years. So it's a very, very, you know, very less amount is invested by the students.
Okay.
When you compare them with the other, you know, private B.Ed. institute.
Yeah.
That is that
okay.
is a very important part of this program, that they don't have to shell out a lot of money for this program.
Okay.
It's a you know, educational institute funded by the central government.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, did you get an opportunity to ask them, like suppose mm-hmm. they had not joined this teacher education program, what are the alternatives they had in mind?
Yeah, some of them had alternatives like doing their post-graduation.
Okay.
Post-graduation. Some are already post-graduates and want to pursue and chair maybe. And some, though, have completed their post-graduation, would like to take up a job because their parents are economically very poor.
Okay.
But some of them thought that by getting a B.Ed. degree, chances of teaching in a school, you know, getting a job in the school would be much easier with a B.Ed. program from NPRC. So many have joined on that basis for getting a job immediately. And in fact, we have moved campus placement. So that is the reason why many of them have pressed this course. Because getting a job in a school, and a school can also give you 40,000-50,000, you know, depending on the kind of school that you get into. So though some had planned for higher studies, but maybe due to economic pressure or whatever, they wanted to do this B.Ed. program so that immediately after that they can become a teacher in a school at the secondary level.
Oh, okay. So that is the key motivation, no? But probably.
Yes. That's the chief motivation. And they know that after the previous records, they have kind of a detailed idea that they will definitely do well and get a job, maybe in a government school, maybe in a private school, and at least they will earn nothing less than 30,000. So that way, you know, that is also a very important factor why they have joined this course. Mm-hmm. And this is not true for all, because maybe all have not thought of just getting a job as a teacher, but maybe they couldn't pursue their higher studies due to many reasons, maybe due to the socio-economic factors, or maybe due to not getting a seat because of their percentage. They have not joined there. Mm-hmm. So maybe some of them really wanted to go into higher studies, but they have not done so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
In this program, in this 2-year BA program, based on your observation, what is that they like most about the program?
Most about the program?
Yes.
Maybe they like the internship.
Okay.
Yeah, the internship, that is the teaching. Uh-huh. That is what they like, yes.
Uh-huh.
They go to the school for 3 months as a student teacher, as a practicing teacher,
uh-huh.
and that is what they enjoy the most.
Okay.
And they get actual, actual hands-on experience on teaching and how to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they start with a lot of difficulty in the first week, but
mm-hmm.
gradually they pick up. And as a result, they enjoy that the most. The 3 months of internship in the school, they are attached to a school, for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, and so that is what they enjoy a lot: the internship program, the teaching program.
Okay.
That they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many other components which they like. They have to, teach in our institute, the micro teaching classes,
mm-hmm.
where they feel they start gaining confidence in speaking, fluency,
mm-hmm.
in the self confidence, self esteem, all these things. They feel much more confident. That's what they enjoy also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have heard that students somehow don't like the theory portion. Is it true?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes, it is true.
Okay.
Because madam, it also depends on the teacher who teaches those theory classes.
Okay.
Some of the theory classes they love to attend, some of the theory classes they feel it's boring.
Okay.
So, actually, madam, to be very frank, it depends from teacher to teacher and from class to class, and cannot generalize that they don't like the theory classes. Because it depends on the kind of teacher that they are getting for that particular paper, for the particular unit.
Yes.
Maybe for some classes they are always there for the classes, and for some they will bunk. Maybe the class is not interesting, and therefore they find they can study on their own, use library materials, and then continue on their own. That's what they feel like.
Yes.
No, this is a universal truth. It happens
everywhere. Do they have any issues that they reported about the program? Any problems about the program? The students?
Not many issues. Yeah, sometimes for internship, they complained in the sense that they're not getting classes in the school and all that. But regarding our institute, they don't have any complaints as such.
Okay.
Yes. When they go for internship program, sometimes they complain that the school is not giving them sufficient classes because, madam, see, they have to deliver 30 classes.
Okay.
30 in one subject and 30 in another subject.
Okay.
So, for example, a science student, they have two teaching methods. Okay. Or maybe physical science and math.
Okay.
Okay. Huh. And or maybe life science and physical science.
Okay.
So in some schools they do not get sufficient class maybe, and they cannot complete 30 lessons, and that's what when they complain to us, madam, that particular school headmistress is not giving us sufficient classes. Hmm. How do we complete 30 lessons in the, you know, the allotted number of months? And that's the complaint that they have.
Okay.
But in our institute as such, when they are as students, we don't have much of complaint as such.
Okay. Then how is this problem fixed, ma'am? Like if they don't get the classes, how is that negotiated?
Yeah, because in that case, you know, we go and talk to the headmistress or principal or whatever, and say that you have to help our students, or else it will be difficult for them to complete the number of classes. So somehow, when we request, and you know, from our side, the principal goes to my institute, or I go as dean, and request us that somehow you manage some classes, more classes, so that they don't feel, you know, depressed that they're not getting the number of classes.
Mm-hmm.
So then somehow the new classes are, you know, given to them. Somehow we manage, you know.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many students are you tagged now, ma'am, as of now?
You mean for the final teaching?
Yeah, for this internship.
For this internship, yeah, it depends. Sometimes 13 schools, sometimes 15 schools.
Okay.
It depends actually. Yes.
Okay.
It depends. Because we ask for about 15 schools, but maybe two drop out, and out of that we have 13 schools.
Mm-hmm.
Then in each school we give them about 5 to 6 students or so.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So in each school maybe we attach 4 to 5 students.
Uh-huh.
And to cover up the 50 students.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Ma'am, as far as I know, RIE Mysore has a demonstration school.
Does RIE
also have anything like that? Some demonstration
school? Yes. No, this institute doesn't have, but in case of other RIEs, demonstration schools are there in all the RIEs.
Why is this, ma'am?
No, see, it started initially as a teacher training institute.
Uh-huh.
It started initially as a teacher training institute. Later on, we started this course.
Okay.
So that is why when it started as a just a training, institute, we did not have a plan of having these courses. So the DM school also was not there in the pipeline.
Okay.
So all other RIs have a DM school. Except for Navy Shillong, yes.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh.
Yes.
Mm. That's a limitation, ma'am.
Because if we had a dean school, the important thing that could have happened was we needn't have sent our students to outside schools.
Mm.
This school itself, like in other RIs, the students are placed in their DM school itself for teaching.
Mm.
But here, since we don't have, we have to go to other schools in Shillong, city for our, internship purpose.
Mm.
We don't have a DM school. Otherwise, that problem would have been solved. 80% of the problem would have been solved. You know?
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Ma'am, what do the students from their point of view think about the 2-year program, ma'am? Do they find it very long or anything like that?
They have never complained. In fact, we have not got any feedback from them that is very long, because it is that they have applied to this course intentionally that it's a 2-year program. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So they have not complained that it is it's a program which is very long. We have not heard any such complaints from them. Rather, they feel that all the areas that we take up in all the units, all the papers, they feel it's very fulfilling because it will cater to a wholesome and composite kind of program, BA program. They have not complained. So we have not heard from them that it's very lengthy or it could have been completed in 1 year. They have not said that.
Okay.
Because looking to the course content, you cannot complete it in 1 year. Then the course has to be squeezed and reduced a lot.
Correct, correct.
Yes, yes.
So they are aware of that. Okay, okay.
Yes, that's
the story. What are the students, do they take TET exams and what is their opinion about the TET exam?
What exam?
TET, not teacher eligibility test.
Oh, teacher eligibility. Yeah, they do take that exam.
Okay.
Yes, yes, because that's also very important. And some of them also appear for the NET exams, you know, side by side, they appear for all these TET tests and all that. That they do.
Okay.
That they do because that's very important for getting their, you know, a job in the, you know, the schools and all that. They know that, and from time to time, they keep applying for these exams.
Okay.
Yes.
Does your school provide any supply for those things?
No, they do it on their own, madam. They apply on their own and they appear on their own.
No, when they come, when these students apply and come to you, they have a certain kind of a profile or in what way they change as they go through the program? What's your opinion? Do they learn, what do they learn through this program?
The most important thing that they learn is they acquire a lot of self-confidence because they are asked to present lessons, teach, right from the end of the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find when they enter, they are very, very nervous, shaky. But once they are, they jump into these teaching practices and because before we send them for the internship, we give them a thorough practice in teaching, they demonstrate lessons, we observe, and the peers also comment and all that.
Huh.
So gradually after 8 to 10 months, we find that they evolve into real confident persons. That's the confident students that we find. What they came and then they joined, and later on what we see, that's quite a big difference, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we make them actually teach. We observe them. We give them the feedback. We give them the feedback that no, this is not how you should have taught this topic. You could have used these methodologies to further make it interesting. And your body language is not good. You should improve it a little more. You should not stick to one place. You should do more of blackboard work and explain to the students. We don't have students, but their friends become students, you know, like in a simulated condition, okay? So as a result, we find that there's a big change after 6 months or 8 months of, joining this institute.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ma'am, when you send them to these schools, that 13 to 15 schools, what is the kind of feedback you get about your students from those schools about their preparation?
Yes. They are very happy about our students. I find that they, there are always some gray areas. So maybe out of 50 students, maybe 5 or 6 of them may not be very good. But at least 80% of the students are very good and they get a very good feedback.
Okay.
Yes, that is why. And again, the next year we approach those schools, we are very happy to take our students. Though not more than 4 or 5, because they cannot accommodate so many students. But yet they are very happy to take them because maybe they are through past experience. They appreciated the teaching of our students. Maybe that's the reason.
Oh, that is true. Otherwise,
otherwise, if our students, if they would not have performed well in the school, and the students of that school would have complained that they don't like the class of these students, these student teachers, they would have probably not said yes to again next year. Maybe some excuse they would have said that, sorry, we cannot accommodate your students this year. Maybe they would have not told us the reason, but maybe they said no.
Yes,
so when they happily agree to again taking our students, it only means that they are happy with the performance of our students.
Very true, ma'am. Very true. Otherwise, why would they take it?
Why would they take? They would on some pretext say, no, at this time we cannot accommodate, there is some problem. They would have made some excuses and, avoided, but every year the same schools come forward to take 4 or 5 students. Some schools, 1 or 2 don't take because maybe they have some issue.
Okay.
But, yes, but most of them, happily agree to take. So that only shows that the performance of our students are very good, isn't it?
Very true. Ma'am, do they get in touch with you, ma'am, after the program, once they leave the college?
You mean the students?
Yes,
they do. They do, they do keep in touch, they work from us, or maybe sometimes if they require any help on some academic matters to apply to form a higher education, or maybe which school should they join, for all these things, they're always in touch. Though they pass out, they're always in touch, yes.
And what feedback they give you about the program, and the kind of preparation they had, and is it helping them later in their job?
Yes, they do give us feedback. They say that because of the course and the 3-year BA program, they have got a good job and they are being appreciated in the schools in which they have joined. Yes, so they do give feedback and they're very happy because their experience in this institute for 2 years has richly paid them. So when they join a school, the school authorities are also very appreciating their performance and the way of teaching, the methodology. So they are very happy in that.
Okay.
Yes. So we get constant feedback from them. They sometimes even message me, madam, we have got offer from this, should we join the school, or will it not be worthwhile to join? Such kind of academic issues they take up and they ask us.
Okay. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. They are in touch. Even students from 2015 batch, they're still with us on WhatsApp and all that. And sometimes they're not able to, a particular lesson, they don't know how to introduce the lesson. They sometimes in English, I'm from the English, say sometimes WhatsApp me and ask, madam, if this is the lesson, how do we go about it? How could we make the class interesting? They do that. And we happily help them out.
Oh, that's really interesting. Have they brought to your notice that after joining the school, did they come back to you and say, ma'am, this should have been there, or we should have learned so and so? That is not there.
We have not got such issues.
Okay, great.
Very nice.
Those issues we have
not, handled as such. Yeah.
Would it be possible to tell me, if you can recollect and if you know about it, how many students actually took the CET or CTET exam from your college?
Madam, that I can't tell you exactly the number and all that. Every batch they do take.
Okay.
But I cannot give you the data at the moment. I cannot give you the data, but I can at least tell you that, yes, every batch they do take, they do take these exams.
And is it possible to say approximately how many got passed or became eligible now?
Some have not. Maybe they tried it the next time. But some of them got it in the first attempt itself.
Okay. What percentage would it be?
Yes, madam.
What percentage of the students got through?
It's not 50%, 40% of them.
Okay. Around 40% of them. Okay.
Yes, around 40% of them.
Huh.
If not half, at least little less than half.
Okay. So you also mentioned that you are not providing any support for the TET program, special preparation.
No. We don't provide any support. They do that on their own, and they prepare on their own and appear their own exam. Sometimes we don't even know that they are appearing. After they qualify, they tell us that, ma'am, we have qualified.
Okay. Ma'am, are you aware of this pass percentage of the TET examination? Is it where is it very? In which colleges is it very high? Anything about that? Or any college where the pass percentage is very low?
Even which college in which RI?
No, across RI or any other TU colleges which you have come across?
No, madam, I cannot give you this data. I don't think so. I know which is very high. Uh-huh. Yeah, which is very high. But I can tell you that when compared to the other RIs, the pass percentage is much more, much higher.
Okay.
Yes, much higher than the Shillong students.
Okay. Across RI, you would be able to see.
Yes, across RI.
Okay. When these students, where are these students generally getting employed, ma'am, after they complete the course?
You see, some of them get into private schools. Private schools. Some of them get into the JNVs, the Jawahar Navodaya Vidyalayas. But that is on contractual basis. That is on contractual basis. They get into the Jawahar Navodaya Vidyalayas, JNVs. And KV is also contractual because these are all permanent posts are advertised. There's an exam, so that takes a long time. So sometimes they are taken in as on a contractual basis.
Are they placed in high school because they have done B.Ed, or are they placed in any lower?
Yes. No, high. Most of them, since they have completed their B.Ed after graduation, they are mostly PGTs. And if they have a postgraduate degree, they become PGTs.
Okay. So not in lower classes, no? They are not.
They don't prefer going to primary classes.
Okay.
They join after class 6, that is the upper primary and the secondary. And if they have a post graduation degree, then they get into the schools, they are, employed in the schools as post graduate teachers, PGTs.
And are there, what proportion of them probably can get the government jobs now? What proportion?
No, government jobs, most of them have not got on permanent basis because they have a different process of selection. They have an entrance test, they have an interview, Kendriya Vidyalayas and Navodaya Vidyalayas and all that. But in case of other schools, they do get in. Sometimes they get into the DAVs, sometimes, and most of them get into private schools.
Okay.
Yeah. Private schools. The Navodaya Vidyalayas are always located in the rural parts, located in outskirts of the city and all that. Sometimes students don't prefer to join the Navodaya Vidyalayas because it requires a 24/7 work. They are residential teachers and they have to always monitor the activities of the students. Teachers, students, don't prefer to join the Navodaya Vidyalayas because it means that even in the evening you have to look after the students, coach them, tutor them. Some students don't like that. Once it is 4:30, they like to have their own life and go back to their home. So that is why sometimes they don't prefer to join the Navodaya Vidyalayas. Unless they are forced to, like if they have no other job, they have got a contractual post, then they join Navodaya Vidyalayas.
If they go to a private school, what is the kind of salary they can expect? What are they getting?
For example, last year some of the students got into the private. They are getting around 40.
They are quite good.
They are getting around, and those who are getting around 30, 32, they have got free accommodation. They got free accommodation. So formulas got into a salary of 40 plus. They have to look, they have to find out their own accommodation. But some were paid a little less. The school itself provides them accommodation, some like, you know, on team sharing basis or whatever. But it is not less than 30.
Okay. That's good one. Ma'am, do they get into any NGO kind of work? Those who work in education sector?
No, they are purely teachers. Teachers and teaching from class 6 to class 10.
Okay. So they are not an NGO?
No, not an NGO.
According to you, what are the other careers relating to education that students can pursue, ma'am? Or have you come across? If they could not become a teacher or did not get an appointment, where could they go?
They sometimes appear for these banking exams and they get into banks.
Okay.
Sometimes they go in for higher studies like MPhil and like that. Some also go into other professions, some other competitive exams, some, you know, and they join. So it depends actually. It's not that once they do their B.Ed, they will definitely become teachers. But some of them, maybe 30% of them, don't become teachers. They go into other professions as well.
Coming to RIE itself, that about that. So what are some of the challenges that you and your colleagues are facing in RIE now?
Regarding which area?
With reference to teaching the students, their attendance, their regularity, academic competence, their interest, like that.
Yes, when I was in Bhubaneswar, I didn't face much of challenges because students were very good there.
Okay.
They were very, very, yes, they were very bright and, you know, very good, intelligent students and all that. So we didn't have any problem with them.
Yeah.
But here I find, in Shillong, coming from different northeast, some which are very bad, so some come from very bad regions.
Mm-hmm.
So see, there speaking, our medium of instruction is English, okay?
Yeah.
So sometimes they are not able to, you know, speak fluently. And in B.Ed course, you have to be speaking, because after all, you're going to be trained as a teacher.
Yeah.
So you have to speak well, fluently, and with clarity. That we found some students, we had to labor a lot for those students, and then we started looking bad that still we are not able to improve them. Maybe because of their background, maybe because of the region they come from. Many reasons were there, but some of them were very, very, I will not call them below average, but they couldn't communicate well.
Okay.
They couldn't communicate well, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's very difficult because this entire profession is based on
yes. So we cannot get 100% students who would be very good.
Okay.
Some of them, as you know, you are also a teacher, you know, in a class, maybe at least 10 of them would not be good, interested in studies, or maybe not very intelligent, or maybe not fluent in their communication skills, like that.
Yes, very much.
Yes, that's about all.
Ma'am, you and your colleagues, are you facing any challenges in terms of your tenure, salary, or opportunities for faculty development in RIE?
No, we don't have such problems.
And with reference to NCTE regulation, ma'am, are there any issues?
NCTE regulation, no, not much.
Okay.
Not much.
With reference to the anyway, this doesn't apply to affiliating bodies or another things. And then now that NEP 2020 is talking about the 4-year BEd program, what is your take on that, ma'am? What are the challenges it's going to present
I think the 4-year course is a much better course than 2-year B.Ed. course.
Okay.
Huh. But the problem is, it depends whether RIs can... See, for example, in Bhubaneswar RI, Mysore RI, all have 4-year B.Ed. courses.
Yes, yes. They already have it.
They already have it. It's yes. Initial plan. When I was in Bhubaneswar also, the courses are going up. But the problem is, maybe as I told you, did not begin as a educational institute offering courses. It was mainly for training in-service teachers. So as a result, our infrastructure is not so equipped that we can run a 4-year B.Ed. course, which requires lot many classrooms, lot many, rooms for the optional subjects.
Okay.
So, cannot offer, it's very difficult here to decide to offer the 4-year B.Ed. because we require not many classrooms, we require much more infrastructure facilities, hostel facilities to accommodate the 4-year B.Ed. program. So, I don't think we can ever, do this 4-year B.Ed. program. I think 2 years would be still going on unless it is phased out. Yes. That's the reason. But all the other areas, the 4-year B.Ed. is going on in full swing.
Yeah. And that is good. Now, is it, what is your evaluation of that, those 4-year program in other RIs?
Yes, could you please repeat the question?
I want to say if you compare the 2-year program with that of the 4-year program, which is what is your theory, which is better now?
I think the 4-year is any time better. The quality of the students, yes. Because we get very good, because the entry point of the 4-year B.Ed. program is plus 2. After plus 2, they are supposed to apply for the B.Ed. course, B.Ed. course.
Yeah.
But this one is after graduation, they apply. So that plus 2 students who come, they're very bright, and we get a very good bunch of students for the B.Ed. I feel the B.Ed. course is much better than the 2-year B.Ed. This is my personal opinion.
Okay. Oh, that's a wonderful mark. Now, the last question for this interview. With this COVID situation, how is your institution functioning? What has worked well, what has not? And what are the key difficulties what are the students they are facing? And how you are actually, as a faculty, coping with all these things now? How has it affected your program as a whole?
Yeah, the first thing that is affected is that we have vacated the hostels.
We have
asked our students to go back to their home states, and we are conducting online classes. That's one. Second thing is that, personally, what I feel, the online classes are not so effective like the offline mode. It's not so effective in the offline mode. Students come up with a message that connectivity is poor, we can't get internet connection. That's out of 50 students, maybe we get 32 or 35 attending, the rest don't attend, and all these things. So the COVID situation, we have asked them to vacate the hostels because we cannot take the responsibility in case one student is COVID affected and the entire hostel gets infected.
Correct.
So that is why we have vacated the hostel since the month of April. I'm talking of this year. Since the month of April. And still they are in the hometowns. We have not called them because Meghalaya is still, every day there are cases coming up. And lot of protocol business is there, lot of restrictions, SOPs. So we are still not calling our students back. So the exam that they are going to have is all on online mode. And so are the classes.
Okay. What would you do for the internship or the practice teaching,
We couldn't have the practice teaching, madam. And the final teaching exam is going on. Actually, that's why I couldn't give you time last week.
Okay.
It's going on. So that also is being conducted in the online mode. They are teaching. They are teaching there, and we are observing. They are teaching and marking them. I know the situation is not so conducive, like, you know, that they are. Just 1 minute, madam. So it's not so conducive in the sense that we are just conducting it. That's not a, you know, in 20 minutes time we are giving them to demonstrate a lesson. So that is not the real final teaching now. We are going to go to school and teach, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the reason why it's just being managed. We are managing it, that's all.
Now, as a senior academician and an educationist, what is your, this is my last question now, what is your hunch, what would happen to this man? If they will get promoted and they will go, then what would happen? How would they ensure that they would be better teachers and what? What is that?
You mean due to COVID?
Yes, ma'am. Due to this COVID situation. And these will be
definitely they are losing out a lot on this issue because they are not having actual classroom interaction. They are being deprived of actually teaching and practicing in our institute, going to the schools. So COVID has definitely affected what could have been a holistic BA program. Part of it is being affected because of the COVID situation. That is what we find.
Okay. Ma'am, thank you so much for this very insightful interview with you, ma'am.
Thank you. You're always welcome. Any other suggestion, you can also WhatsApp me, no problem.
Sure, ma'am. Ma'am, in case if I'm missed out any question, kindly let me know. Do you think I've missed out something? Because it's got to be put in the UNESCO.
I think you have covered everything practically.
Okay, ma'am.
Yeah, I think you have covered everything practically.